How to Develop Your Potential for God is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother Daniel Hopkins. Brother Daniel Hopkins currently serves in the student ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, teaches music and academic classes in Lancaster Baptist School, and teaches piano at West Coast Baptist College. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell in the Lancaster Baptist Church.
If you turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 149, Psalms chapter 149, and look in verse 6. Psalms chapter 149 and verse 6, and we'll read that verse, and then we'll get right into the lesson. I believe this is session number 16, if you have an outline book and you're taking notes in your outline book. How to Develop Your Potential for God. Psalms chapter 149, if you look in verse 6, the Bible says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." I'll read it again. "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." And this is really my motto and my theme verse for Christian education, that every single teenager that goes maybe to a Christian school or a public school that might sit under the teaching of the Word of God in Sunday school, that every single teenager, that the high praises of God would be in their mouth, that they would have something to glory in the fact that they're a child of God and they're saved and they can be a witness to other people. And really, before we look at potential, you might want to think about, well, what do I want the potential to be? And that's the most important thing. We want to be servants of God. We want to strive in that area. In the introduction, if you'll write this down, people that are spiritually successful have a desire for God-given direction in their lives. People that are spiritually successful have a desire for God-given direction in their lives. And in order to reach your potential, first of all, you really have to have a direction. And point number one, remember the big picture that God has for your life. Teenagers, remember the big picture that God has for your life. He wants you to be a faithful Christian. He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to tell others about Jesus. He wants you to be separated from the world. God wants you to be pure. God wants you to attend church faithfully even after you graduate from high school. Remember the big picture, those big picture items that you hear in Sunday school, that you've learned in church, and the Bible says those things which you have both learned and received in me, do. And you've learned those things, but those are big picture items. God's not going to call you to do something, or he's not going to allow you to reach your full potential if you're not doing the things he's already commanded everyone to do. Those things, being faithful, make decisions that go along with the direction that God is leading in your life. Make decisions that go along with the direction that God is leading in your life. For instance, and I'll give you an example, this is a personal example. When I was a young child, my mother started teaching me piano lessons. Obviously, that was a direction that God had intended for my life, and I didn't realize that as a child, and I didn't know that. I know that now, looking back, and many times when we look back on things, we see them a lot more clearly than we do right when we're in the middle of them. But that was for my life. And really, from age 4 or age 5, I was practicing 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And that was something, and I could see as my life went on how God was going to use me in that area and how I wanted to be used in that area. And so I really wanted to develop that area in my life, not only practicing, but working with other people. There was a guy in my class, and my school class, and now he's a missionary to Jamaica. And I remember his junior year of high school, my junior year of high school, he said, "Daniel, I want to try out for the ensemble next year." And I was like, "Josh, and I was thinking in my mind, I might have just said it to him. We were real close friends. "Josh, I don't think you can sing. You shouldn't try out for ensemble." I remember thinking that. Josh is a great singer, but I didn't know that because he had never really applied himself. He had never sang, and he had just surrendered to the ministry and to be a missionary. I knew if he was going to be a missionary, he's probably going to have to lead some singing. And so anyway, we sat down, and I play a note, and he couldn't even find it at first. But no kidding, I mean, just after maybe a few weeks, he could not only find the right notes, but he had a great voice. He started singing with the ensemble. What was that? That was just investing a little bit of time in somebody. But if you know or you have a skill at something or God's giving you a gift in some area and you don't share it with someone else, obviously you're limiting your potential in that area. And so we look to remember the big picture that God has for your life. Make decisions that go along with the direction that God is leading your life. Another example, if I desire to be used of the Lord in the area of music, then I would look for opportunities, not only as a child, but as a teenager, to be able to use those. I remember in ninth grade, I was in ninth grade. My sister had just went to college, and the youth pastor also taught the junior church during the main church service on Sunday morning. I don't necessarily recommend this, but it was a unique situation, and he asked for me to come in and really to take my sister's place and play in the piano for junior church. So when I was in ninth grade, I got to start playing for junior church. That was an opportunity to use a gift that God had given me. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. Did I make mistakes? Sure I did. We would go to nursing homes every Saturday morning when I was a child and even as a teenager. Every Saturday morning, or excuse me, Saturday afternoon, about 1:30 actually, we would go to nursing homes and we would sing. Sometimes we would do two a day, and when I got in high school, we would do one a week. And those were opportunities for me to develop in that area. And maybe there's a young man in here and God's called you to preach, or maybe you believe God's called you to ministry and you don't know what area that he wants to use you in. We ought to start trying out those different areas. I can remember at nursing home many weeks preaching. I remember my first sermon from Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 about spreading the gospel. And I was talking about knocking doors, and these were people in the nursing home. You know, like, you need to go knock doors. You know, I remember one week I made a mistake and I preached on death. It is appointed unto a man once to die, but after this the judgment, you know. And then I learned later, maybe you ought to speak about let not your heart be troubled. You know, that might be a better sermon for someone in a rest home. But those were opportunities for me to try to fill out and for the Lord to show me, hey, this is what you're good at. This is what you're not good at. This is what I want you to do. You know, and you're not limited, by the way, to what you're good at and what you're not good at. But we're talking about developing your potential and God showing you. And God's going to show you in practical ways. My dad used to tell me all the time, Daniel, God's not trying to hide his will from you. And God's not trying to hide his plan for anybody in here. He's not trying to hide it from you. And it's very practical. It's a day-by-day, step-by-step thing. But make decisions that go along with the directions that God's leading your life. When I went to college, I had the opportunity to play for a lot of groups. Not only in chapel, but got to travel a little bit as well. But those were decisions that went along with the direction that God was leading in my life in that area. And I use the music as an example because that's the area that God has called me to. But in your area, in your own area of life, there'll be things as well. Pray for God to direct your life day by day and for him to bless your future. Pray for God to direct it. It's an act of faith. It really is. Not knowing what the future holds, but praying God for direct it day by day. Write down goals. Write down goals. Write down goals that you have for your life as a teenager. I remember we had these senior books that we get, and I remember my senior book, what I wrote down. I wrote down as my goals, how many kids I wanted to have, and I didn't write down who I was going to marry, but I might have wrote down some things. I want to marry a godly Christian lady who's called to the ministry, just like me. I even wrote down the kind of car that I wanted to drive. That was just a goal, and I'm not driving that kind of car today. But, you know, I wrote that down. At least I had a little bit of direction and some goals. And maybe you should write those things down and have some directions and goals. And don't be disappointed, by the way, if God changes those. The Bible says, ask for God, his way is perfect. Okay? Our ways aren't perfect, but his are. And then, incorporate plans to accomplish your goals. Incorporate plans to accomplish your goals. It might be daily goals. It might be goals that are more weekly goals. I want to do this. If you go to danielhopkins.com, it's not me. Okay? But there's another guy there, and I think he's a Mormon missionary, in fact. And that's kind of weird, you know. This Mormon missionary has my name. And I typed in danielhopkins.com. Well, there's this one thing, though, that I noted was interesting. And this guy, he said on there, he said, I want to see if I can do the same thing every day for a year. And so every day he posts a new picture. And so that's his little thing. But you ought to have daily goals, okay? For some of you, it might be, some of you teens, it might be brush your teeth. It might be use deodorant. I don't know. Those would be very good daily goals to have. But really, more importantly, walking with the Lord. Maybe setting a Bible reading schedule. Maybe it's just a time every morning where you pray. Or maybe in the afternoon where you just find a time to pray. Maybe that's a good goal for you to get started in your walk. Incorporate plans to accomplish your goals. It might be yearly goals. It might be maybe a little more of 4 or 5 year goals, okay? I want to graduate college in 4 years, or I don't think I can do it in 4 years because I'm going to pay my own way, but my goal is to graduate in 5, and I'm going to pace it out that way. But incorporate plans to accomplish your goals. Think and work in terms of your future. Think and work in terms of your future. My dad taught me, really, as far as investing is concerned, you want to invest early in everything you do, and not just necessarily monetarily, but also in the talents and abilities that God's given you. The earlier that you start, the better off that you'll be. And really, exponentially can be increased. Time, here's a quote about time that I read, there are limits to the time that you have to live. There are. Some of us will live more than others, but we all have 24 hours in a day. There are limits to the time that you have to live, but no limits on how you live your time. And it's a very interesting statement. Spend time doing things that will last. Do things that will last. You know, and there's nothing wrong, guys, with being involved. Maybe you're involved in sports. You ought to be involved in sports if you can. If God's given you the physical capabilities of being involved in things like sports, you ought to be involved in sports. It's good for a guy to know how to knock another guy down. It's good to be able to maybe one day to go out and shoot some guns. Those are good things to do, and those are recreational. They're fun. Really, guys, the only time you're going to be able to do that, I see Josue, and I enjoy watching Josue play basketball. I like watching him. And he played point guard, right? And I like watching Josue play basketball. Guess what? After high school, unless he plays in college, he's probably not going to have another opportunity to really play team sports like that. And so this is a great time to do that. And that time ought to be set aside. And I want to encourage you guys that are involved in those things that you can only do in high school that you can't necessarily do later, do those things, yes. But also spend time doing things that are going to last even more and longer than that. And really the lasting thing about things like sports is the principles that you can learn about sports. Not to be a quitter. Even when you don't like the sport, or you're not very good at a particular area in the sports. Not to lose your temper. There's wonderful things that you can learn about things like that. But there's also things that you should spend your time doing that will last. Some of you earlier this summer might have attended a camp besides maybe like a teen camp or a teen retreat. Maybe you attended, I know on the campus here they offer a preaching and a music camp. Maybe you attended the preaching camp and you wanted to exercise those skills. Those are things that are going to last. And you're going to want to spend your time doing those types of things. It might be things and being a servant and helping out your parents at home. Doing things that will last. And it might not last in one way, but it'll last in their memory. My mom will remind me every now and then of when we get home from church on Sunday afternoons. I would bring her slippers because her feet hurt. And she was at church all day. My mom's short, so she always wore high heels. And she'd go in the kitchen right when we got home, and she'd be cooking. And I would just automatically go to their room, go to the closet, and grab the slippers. That was something that'll last. She remembers that. She still remembers that today. She'll remind me, you're not here to go get my slippers. But that's something that lasts. And those types of things are spiritual things. Those are things that will last for eternity. B, allow yourself to be challenged. Don't always take the easy road. Allow yourself to be challenged. I challenged some students in a world history class this year for this summer for them to tackle something that maybe they didn't really think that they could do. One of the students actually went online and bought him an Algebra 2 book. And I said, I want you to go through this Algebra 2 book. If you don't finish the book, at least take the book and work through the book somewhat and use it as a refresher course. I bought him the book, and our school doesn't even use the curriculum of that particular book. And so I bought him the book, and I bought him the solution key. And I said, I want you to work on it. And then I want you, and it's a big book. It has over 120 lessons in it, 30 problems. And it's actually the Saxon curriculum. And I think our school uses the Abaca for Algebra 2. And he had already taken the course, but I said, hey, go back and work on that. And I hope he works on that. But there's things that you can do even during the summer that are going to strengthen you and help you in that area. But challenge yourself. Three, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. You might make a vow to God that you're going to keep yourself pure. You might pray and ask God to help you to stay pure because you're not going to do it without his help. Follow godly counsel. Have right friends. Listen to Christ-honoring music. Don't watch things on TV that will bring you down spiritually. Our pastor said the statement, you might write the statement down if you don't know it already, when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. And we're talking about potential, and potential has a lot to do with vision and where you want to go with your life. But when your heart is pure, when your heart is right with God, and your motives are pure, then God can guide you. And you'll be open to the direction that God's leading you and that not your own self and your flesh is leading you. Number four, have a biblical work ethic. Have a biblical work ethic. You ought to want to work. There's a guy that goes to our high school, and when I need help, most of the time, 90, I would say 90% of the time, if I need help in my house, I'm going to call. There's one guy I know I can call, and I know he works hard. And so I'm going to call him and come over to my house and work because he works the whole time. I mean, he works. I have to beg him to come in to get a sip of water. Hey, man, why don't you come in? No, I'm working. I got to get this done. That's great. That's a good work ethic. He has a good work. He's a smart worker. And you want to have a good work ethic now. Don't think that when you turn 18, all of a sudden, that's the time you learn how to work. No, you ought to learn how to work before that. you ought to pace yourself. I found as a teenager, when I didn't keep myself busy, that my parents would give me something to do. If I said and I went to them, I'm bored, my mom would say, oh, are you bored? Well, I can give you something to do where you won't be bored. Go outside and weed the flower beds. And we lived out in the country. We lived on 3.5 acres, and then we moved my senior year, and we lived on 7.5 acres. There was always something to do. And sometimes I would just leave the house where I wouldn't look bored to mom, where she wouldn't give me things to do. I would keep myself busy. And that's what you ought to do. I mean, are you going to do their agenda over yours? You ought to develop an agenda, okay? And we're talking about potential, and obviously you teenagers, if you weren't in here, if you're in here, you probably want to develop your potential. But use your time to develop yourself. Your parents will appreciate that. They understand that, and that'll speak volumes. But now you can develop in those areas. A, view work as an opportunity and as an avenue to achieve what God has for your life. Don't view it as something that you have to do. I think some people actually think that work is one of the curses that God placed upon man because of sin. But actually, work took place before God cursed man, before man sinned, didn't it? Because the Bible says that Adam's command was to keep the garden and to dress it and to keep it. And that was work there. And God has a plan for us to work. And with work, really, there's fulfillment. And we like when we accomplish something. The other night, I had to repaint a room. And it was actually a little more last minute. It's on this campus. And we got some touch-up paint, and it didn't work. And, man, I was really discouraged. I was like, man, I'm going to paint this room instead of just touching up one little spot. I have to paint the whole room. And it wasn't a big room, but it was a high-profile type room. It was one of those rooms, you know, where a pastor would notice if it wasn't painted right. And the spot was about eye level, walk right when you walk in the room, in the middle of the room. And so I saw one of the high school guys walking across the parking lot going to help the interns and said, hey, come with me, you're going to help me. He's like, okay. So we took everything out of the room. We painted the room. It took us about 4 hours just to paint the room, to tape it off, to paint it, to put everything back in, try to make it look nice again. And you know, when I got done with the room, though, I was really proud of that room. I was like, wow, you know, I just painted this room tonight. Yes, and it looks great. You know, when you get something done, though, there's that sense of fulfillment. And really, that's God-given, because God wants us to work. And when we work and we achieve something, oh, we can give God the credit. And God created us that way. But teenagers shouldn't just sit home and eat potato chips and play the Wii and play your PlayStation and just watch movies all the time. You ought to do something. Do something. And like I said, maybe your parents are like mine and they want you to work. Well, find stuff to do. Five, be fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit and to the will of God. Be fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit and to the will of God. This is a daily decision you want to make every morning. This is the driving force of your development, the Holy Spirit. Number six, choose to make decisions based on biblical principles. Choose to make decisions based on Bible principles. And as I said before, remembering the big picture that God has for your life. What he's going to have you do, big picture, what he's not going to have you do, okay? He wants you to go to church. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to pray. He wants you to walk with him. Those are big pictures. And you want to think about those things when you make decisions. Base them on biblical principles. I think a lot of times what we'll do is we try to find somebody that we want to be like. And it could be the best person in the world, you know, besides the Lord. And we'll look at them and we say, hey, you want to try to be like so-and-so. Well, what's wrong with trying to be like the Lord Jesus? Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. And though these other people might be good examples and good role models, and the Bible says that pastors should be examples, and really us in ministry, we should be examples. Fathers ought to be examples, and moms ought to be examples. Kids ought to be examples, the younger kids. Oh, we ought to be examples to each other, but we have one ultimate example, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And why not look to the Lord Jesus Christ? And what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And we think about that. Ask God for wisdom. The Bible says that he gives to all men liberally wisdom and upbraideth not. B, get counsel from your spiritual leaders. Don't belittle the advice of your spiritual leaders. I printed off something just a couple days ago and on an effective mentor. And this is actually... This wasn't necessarily someone who professed to be a Christian. I didn't read a lot on this person, but I did a Google search. And this is what someone from the world had to say, and it was very interesting on an effective mentor. Number one, believes in the potential of people in general, and you in particular. And I believe more and more that teenagers need someone just to mentor them or to be around them or someone they can look up to, somebody that can encourage them. But this is what someone from the world had to say about an effective mentor. Believes in the potential of his people in general and you in particular. An effective mentor, number two, is patient and tolerant. Number three, an effective mentor is encouraging. Number four, provides feedback in a positive, helpful manner. If someone's just encouraging you all the time and just saying how good you are, and they're just flattering you with words, but they never maybe try to correct you or try to show you where you can do something better, they're not a true friend to you. They're not a good mentor to you. Number five, is someone who is held in high regard. Number six, sees the big picture, and we talked about the big picture spiritually for our lives. Number seven, is willing to help you learn by sharing his or her successes as well as failures and the lessons learned. And we can think of someone, in teenagers, you can think of somebody, maybe you can think of somebody in your life. It might be a dad. It might be your mom. It might be someone that maybe you're not necessarily blood related to, but maybe someone, maybe it's one of your teachers who you happen to see all the time. But you need a mentor. You need someone, or you need a group of people that you can sort of be accountable to in that way. You need a mentor. When you graduate from high school, you need a mentor. Actually, when I was in college, there was a man, and his name was Chuck Harding. And Chuck Harding was a mentor to me. I've been over at his house numerous times. I used to play the piano for him when he sang in church. But you know what? It wasn't always, Dan, you play the piano great. It wasn't. It was, hey, how are you doing in your classes? How are you doing? And he actually taught Greek 2. And I took Greek 2 under him. I actually had an A under Chuck Harding. He was a great teacher. He was a very motivational type of person in that way. He did a fundraiser. He was actually the administrator of the school, the Christian high school there at the college. And they did a fundraiser. They were the number one seller of world's finest chocolate in the world. And they sold, while I was there, they exceeded $300,000 of world's finest chocolate sales. That's a lot of money. And this man was just, I mean, great guy to be around. He used to work for the State Department. He was actually the head of diplomatic security when Princess Diana came over before her death. And he had worked for D.C. for a while. He's just a neat guy to be around. Real tall, like 6'5". He's actually here at the conference. And I saw him this morning, said hey to me. That man has just been an encouragement to me. About a year ago, we were in Louisiana, and he happened to be at the same church that we were at when we were visiting our family in Louisiana. And he was there, and we went out to eat. Our family went out to eat, and he came with us, and we ate some good Cajun food. But it was just fun to talk to him. But he was a mentor. He's one of those guys that I could just point to and say, that guy just really influenced me in the right way. And, you know, he didn't have all the time in the world just to spend time with me, and hey, buddy, you know, all the time. But it was that quality time. He taught us a lot of things. He actually took us on tour for, I think, 1 week or 2 weeks. But I'll never forget those 2 weeks or 1 or 2 weeks were the best out of the 3 years of tour that I went on. Those were the best 1 or 2 weeks that I ever had on tour was with that guy. He was a mentor. He encouraged me. He didn't just talk about being spiritual. He was up in the morning. He was reading his Bible. He would just, you know, even sometimes you think, when you're with somebody who's maybe a preacher or a teacher, when you get just alone with them, they'll sort of just be a little more personal and they won't necessarily put on the spiritual facade. But he was spiritual. And not, I'm not talking about over-spiritual, super-spiritual type of thing. I don't think you can be too spiritual. But anyway, Brother Harding was that type of person, even when you're one-on-one. He was spiritually minded. And he was just a good man to be around, a great mentor. But you ought to look for a good mentor. Get counsel from your spiritual leaders. And don't belittle their advice. I've been around some people sometimes, and they, well, I went and got advice from so-and-so, but I don't really agree with him on this area, you know, and I don't, you know, if you ask for advice, be willing to accept the advice. See, love your parents, brothers, and sisters, and listen to their counsel. You know, there's a different relationship there, but you ought to be able to respect that. I enjoy talking to my older sister, Sabrina, and she is very spiritually minded. They're missionaries to Nigeria, someone that I can respect, even just when we're able to spend a little bit of time together. I'll ask her about some things. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I'll call my mom, who's involved in ministry. I'll ask her questions about those types of things. D, choose friends that enhance and develop your potential. Choose friends that enhance and develop your potential. I like to be around encouraging people. And you ought to want to be around encouraging people, not people that are going to drag you down and try to tell you every single bad thing that ever exists. Oh, this is horrible. You wouldn't believe this. And you know, so-and-so isn't all cracked up to be who, or they're not all that everybody think they are. And they're just demoralizing. I don't like to be around people like that. Be around encouraging people who are strong in areas that you desire to be strong in. So number six, choose to make decisions based on Bible principles. Number seven, study God's Word. Study God's Word. God gives us the answers in His Word. And, you know, we have the Striving Together publications, and those are wonderful things. You can get some tools from websites such as those in Ministry 127. But really, those are principles that are found in the Word of God. Many times, if we would just open the Bible and read about people who are successful in the Christian life, successful in their walk with God, we would learn those principles that we need to know. Eight, balance your schedule so you can be involved in church activities and ministry. Balance your schedule so you can be involved in church activities and ministry. It would be a good idea for you teenagers. It would be a good idea for you to get maybe a planner or a type of calendar, just something you can look at and just plan general activities. I'm not talking about plan every 2 minutes of your day. I heard one time there was a certain pastor, and he planned like every 2 or 3 minutes of his day during certain times of the year. I was like, man, that's pretty busy. I'm not that busy. But even if it was just writing an event down on a little calendar and you put it up in your refrigerator, you put it on the door of your room, and you just sort of look over it and you say, okay, this week I have a football practice, but I also have soul winning the same night. I'm just going to have to make a decision. And so-and-so asked me to come sleep at their house on Tuesday night for a birthday party or whatever, but I can't do this because I have this on this day. And you just look ahead, maybe 1, 2, 3 days, and you can look and make sure that you're not just over-planning in that type of way and just wearing yourself out, but you can balance your schedule now. Don't wait until you're a college age or adult age for these types of things. Maybe your mom or dad still has to take you places because you don't have your driver's license. Don't be that type of last-minute child who all of a sudden has to go somewhere. And it's all of a sudden just a big drama for the whole family because you need this ride to your little birthday party that you forgot to tell your mom about. You can write it down. You can tell her a day in advance or a few days in advance. Say, Mom, please don't forget about Johnny's birthday party that I'm supposed to go at next Friday. And the time's at 5 o'clock, and I'm not able to go to that. But you ought to be able to plan those types of things out and not put your parents in a bind in that way. Balance your schedule. Number nine, read books. Read books. Books about heroes of the faith. Might be books about maintaining the right relationships with people and relationship with the Lord. Maybe a book about the fruit of the Spirit. Right now in 8th grade Sunday school, we're actually studying about the fruit of the Spirit. And Pastor mentioned that this morning, Galatians chapter 5. Might be books about spiritual warfare. Maybe it's a book about occupations. One of the other students that I personally challenged in world history, the world history class, when I was just talking about the summer, I think it was maybe a week before the summer hit, and she said that she was interested in the medical field, and she said, would there be any way, you know, that I could get some information on that? Well, I didn't have any really books that dealt with that, but I talked to a friend of mine, and I said, hey, do you have any advice for this person? And he said, yes, I do. In fact, I have a book that's worth about $100 I got in the mail. It hasn't even been opened yet. It's just a book of medical terminology. And that person can have that. And that person, that student was just thinking, you know, asking the Lord, hey, should I pursue the medical field or do you have ministry in mind for me, full-time ministry? And she was very open. She had the right spirit about it. And he gave that book to her. It was like a $100 book. Why? She expressed to someone that she wanted to grow in that area. It's something that she can read up on and really kind of make a decision. Hey, is this something I'm really interested in? Lord, what are you showing me here? You know, I was praying about being a missionary for a while, even when I was in high school. And I thought maybe God would have me go to the country of Singapore. And so I actually got on an encyclopedia and I started reading. And the minute I saw that they spoke Chinese, I said, this is not for me. No, I didn't say that. But I was just reading. I enjoyed reading about those types of things and seeing needs in different countries. But God didn't speak to me any further in that area. And from that, God showed me some other things about what he wanted me to do. But that was a time in my life where I just looked into it. And don't be afraid to look into those things. If you think God might be leading some way, look into that type of thing. Look for practical reads that will increase you in knowledge and in wisdom. Not just in knowledge, but in wisdom to make the right choices about things would be wise as well. In conclusion, you know, in developing your potential, never choose to give up. Don't ever give up on what you think that God has in mind for you, for your life. You know, when you quit, well, that says a lot really about your character. But, you know, don't get so discouraged about something that you're just going to throw in the towel and quit. You're just a teenager. You're not an adult yet. Okay? God hasn't showed you all the things that you're going to do with your life yet. And don't just choose to quit that. Don't give up right now. Maybe you get in college and maybe you get down. Or maybe financially you're not able to pay for a semester and you have to drop out. But don't quit. Just keep going. Keep going. The Bible says a just man falleth and riseth up 7 times again. And we ought to keep trying. I heard a potential formula, and I was looking for a potential formula, but I think this one really kind of summed it up for me. Humanly speaking, obviously we realize that God really can increase our potential, and what we ever thought we could do personally, God can actually increase that and multiply that. And we look at the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell. God has used our pastor in, man, a tremendous way and really touched all of our lives. We're all here at the conference. And some of you more than others, maybe some of you who have grown up in this ministry here. But when you think of potential, there's really two basic things that God wants us to have, or maybe one that God enables us and another that he requires of us. Number one is talent. And it might be a talent in a particular area that God gives you. And that's really a gift from God. And really with talents, there come development. And with the development comes character. So the two factors in your potential really are talent and character. The talent that God gives you, and then the way that you use the talent. We see in the Bible different men who were given. We think about the story of actually the talents, when actually the pieces of money that the men were given. And the one man who had one talent went and he buried it in the earth. He didn't invest his talent. He didn't work at his talent with the money that he had been given, that talent. And because of that, the Lord was very, very upset with him because of that, because he didn't invest his talent. He didn't receive a return. But let's say maybe write on a piece of paper on maybe the area that you're interested in from a scale of 1 to 10, maybe the talent that you think that God has given you. And I want you to write that down maybe on a sheet of paper. You don't have to show anybody that. Maybe you're thinking of a particular area. But just write on a scale of 1 to 10 on a particular area. You think, okay, my talent in this area, on a scale of 1 to 10, I think I'm probably about a 6. Or I think I'm a 10. I think I'm a 1. I'm a 0. Whatever it is. If you don't have zero talent in an area multiplied by the character of 10 would still be 0. But I think everyone would have a talent in most areas. If you're tone deaf, don't even try the music thing, okay? But all right, but maybe write on a scale of 1 to 10 what you think maybe your talent is in a certain area. It might be someone in here, you might be thinking of relationships. Man, I am good at building relationships. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of good friends. I can build good, strong relationships. Maybe it's in the area of preaching. Maybe you like to preach and God gives you a talent in the area. You can, and usually it's people younger than you, okay, that you can influence. And maybe you think, well, when I preach in junior church, I really have those kids' attention and they actually learn from me. And maybe you get some feedback. Scale of 1 to 10, the talent, okay? And then I want you to take the character and let's play around with that number a little bit, okay? And let's say maybe you put, and we're going to multiply those two numbers together, your talent, 1 to 10, and your character, 1 to 10. Let's say you have a talent of 5 and you're a 5 character. 5 times 5 is 25. Right, you're not exceeding or fulfilling your full potential. You can look at it two ways. You can say, okay, 25 out of 100, or you can say 25 out of 50, because 50 is my maximum potential based in that area. So I'm reaching half of what I could really do. But let's say you're a 5 talent and you're a 10 character. Wow, 50, 5 times 10. You can achieve more than someone that's a 10 talent with like a 2 character, because 10 times 2 is 20. Now that's why so many times God doesn't necessarily... God is not limited to use the people that are most talented, okay? God wants to use the clean vessels. He wants to use the pure vessels. He doesn't want to just necessarily use the vessels of gold, because the vessels of gold aren't always the clean and pure vessels. Sometimes he will choose to use the earthen vessels, some of those vessels that are a little more common. Why? Because many times those people are humble enough to seek God's face and to have the character and follow through with their purity and then go out and do something great for the Lord. But when you have talent and God's given you a certain amount of talent, that's the talent that you're required of. That's the cool thing. If you have a talent of 5, God's not going to require out of you a talent of 10. Now, he's going to require out of you a character of 10, but he's not going to require out of you a talent of 10. And if God's given you a talent of 10, man, that could almost be a detriment, because he's going to require out of you a 100, okay, in that area. And I realize nobody's perfect. But just as far as developing your potential, realize that you do have a certain potential that you can reach. Okay? Humanly speaking, there is a potential. There is a cap. Okay? But really, with the Lord, there's no cap. With the Holy Spirit, there's no cap. And there's no limit to your potential as how God can use you, as long as you're willing, as long as you're a clean vessel, and as long as you're willing and you're walking with God and you're submissive to His will. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And I hope maybe you wrote some things down that you can take for later. I don't know what time the session is supposed to end, but I'm guessing this would be a good time to stop. So let's pray, and then we'll go. If you have any questions, you can just hang around. I hope you're able to get in some other sessions as well today. Dear God, we thank you for the wonderful day you've given us, Lord, and I pray that you would just help to further equip us during the conference. Lord, I pray that the teens in here, Lord, would just to be able to go out, Lord, and to be more effective for you, Lord, and I pray that they would start now just investing their time in the things that you would have them to do. Lord, I pray that just in developing themselves, they would keep you first, Lord. They would find a mentor, Lord, that they would listen to the godly counsel and advice of their pastor, Lord, and their parents, and that they would do something great for you with their lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.